In Alabama, access to abortion services are scarce. Dr. Yashika Robinson is the medical director of one of the three abortion clinics in the entire state of Alabama.
I know that I pay an overwhelming cost to be able to provide abortion care here. Then I know that my family pays a price. But if I think about it on the other hand, if I just take what would quote unquote be the easy way out and just quit because that's what anti-abortion activists want me to do. I mean, I have to think about the price, you know, mentally how that's going to affect me.
In May, Alabama passed the most restrictive anti-abortion measure in the country. And once it takes effect, Robinson could be charged with a felony if she continues providing abortions. And the story of how Alabama became the center of the fight over abortion access in America is tied up with the story of the 2010 midterm elections and partisan gerrymandering. And that's one of the things Kai Wright found. He's the host of The Stakes, a podcast from WNYC. And Kai went down to Alabama recently to look at abortion access and how Alabama got to this point from inside an abortion clinic on the front lines of what he calls America's abortion wars. Kai, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just back up a minute. We mentioned part of the level of restrictiveness in this law is that doctors who provide abortions will be considered felons. What else makes it one of the most restrictive laws in the country?
I mean, it bans abortion in almost all circumstances, with no exception for rape or incest. And that was the detail that really set people off, both nationally and in Alabama, the idea that it would ban it without even an exception for rape and incest. And the fact that it was explicitly crafted, you know, in the words of the sponsor of the bill and in the words of the governor as she signed it, it's explicitly crafted to be unconstitutional so that it would spark a Supreme Court challenge on Roe.
You went to a Huntsville, Alabama clinic where you did a lot of the reporting for this episode. Why that clinic and who does it serve?
Well, because part of it, you know, So Alabama is one of a dozen states that have passed these kinds of laws. Alabama is the most restrictive, but many have passed really quite restrictive laws in 2019. And the conversation about it has become so abstracted in legal and moral ideas. And I very much wanted to talk to people providing the service, what this actually means to go and seek and provide this medical care. And so the Alabama Women's Center was a great example because, you know, you mentioned it's one of three clinics in the state, but that really quite understates the point. Patients come to the Alabama Women's Center from Louisiana and Mississippi and Tennessee. It is the only provider within hundreds of miles, really, when you don't stop at the state border. So it was a place where you could really see what it looked like in reality to provide this service. And when you do that, when you show up there and spend time with the staff there, what becomes clear is that this sort of what feels like is happening in 2019 with all of these bills, it's really the end of the story, not the beginning of the story, and that it's less about law and morality as it is about politics and power.
So Kai, what emotional or psychological impact has this law had on doctors and nurses that you were talking to, medical professionals who provide abortions?
Well, you know what? Two things were really striking to me in talking to them. One is how many of them were driven by their faith, which is something that we don't think about in this conversation. We think about it as, you know, evangelical Christians on one side and secularists on the other. To a person, the people I met, when I asked, why are you doing this, you know, at great social and personal cost, they immediately talked about their faith and it feeling like a calling as Christians. And then the second thing is just how determined they intend to be to continue providing, just how unintimidated they have been by this law. They really quite shrug it off because they've spent a decade surfing these laws that have been restrictive on their medical care. And to a person, they say, well, you know, I'm licensed to practice in several states and I will go somewhere else if I have to. So I was really surprised by that.
What's interesting is that you're connecting this to the 2010 election, yep. to this outcome, to gerrymandering. How does make that connection for us? Because I think many folks are just not there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why it's important to think about, you know, how many laws that they have lived through as providers in this clinic. You have to remember that in 2010, two very important things happened. One, Citizens United happened, the Supreme Court ruled in Citizens United, which allowed for huge amounts of dark money to be spent. And two, the National Republican Party quite openly said, we need to win at the state legislative level in order to be able to control the redistricting around the country. They were wildly successful in that effort. But this was the launch of the Tea Party. And so when they redrew these, I mean, extreme gerrymandering in 2010 and on a way that we have not seen in previous redistricting efforts, it was really quite exceptional, actually. When they redrew those districts as safe for Tea Party, for far right legislators, the only relevant election at the state house level for the past decade in many states has been the Republican primary, and which caters to far right voters. And so that has skewed the political conversation in so many states, including Alabama. And so when you talk to people in a place like Alabama about an issue like abortion, they say, you know, starting in 2010, just boom, the laws just started coming. The Guttmacher Institute has tracked the laws. This stat really shocked me. Between 2011 and today, a third of all restrictions ever put on abortion since Roe were put in place, a third of the whole history of the restrictions since Roe happened since that election. It was a sea change.
Kai Wright hosts The Stakes, a podcast from WNYC, and we're talking about how this issue got pulled to the farthest ends of the political spectrum. Kai, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.